All right, guys, welcome back to the Real Man Talk Show. I have a friend here who has graced us with his presence. Very busy man. Very, very busy man who I haven't seen for a long, long time. Like, three hours. Days ago.
Yeah,
hours. Hours? Yeah, absolutely. My good friend Tim Proctor. How you doing, Tim?
I'm doing great, brother. It's really good to see you guys. It was so good to have you all here in the studio. You and Chris, or you and Marty in here. I enjoyed sitting down and just chatting for 45 minutes, an hour.
Yeah, talk about your podcast. Let us know about that. What's the name of your podcast? What is it all
about? Well, it's Check Your Six Podcast, and it's kind of about business, but it can really be about whatever. It's mostly about business, but we talked a lot about when you and I were and Marty were speaking. It was just more about what you guys are doing, your ministry, what you're working through, some of the issues and the challenges and the struggles you have. So it's just trying to get some word out there to help small business, really.
I think that's awesome, man. That's awesome. This podcast, you've heard about it. You've been on it a long time ago when we tried to make like the Oprah show version of it at your studio.
It was good. It was good.
It was good. We got some good info out. Absolutely. And I know you always have something that's like digging at your craw about men and the ministry and Jesus. And this time it's a great topic. I don't know if it was on my list. It should have been. We talked about this in the past. Masculinity and how men are just losing the battle with masculinity in society. We are just getting beat down, man. Talk about why you wanted to talk about this, go over this subject.
Well, you know, it's funny. When you came in to do your promo and we just started chatting, and I said, one of the first things I said was, it just seems to me like men have lost their identity in Christ and what it is means to be a man. Right. And he said, no, we need to talk about that. So, and ironically, just this past week at Waterstone Church, we've been going to church there for about 7 months now. The pastor, it was a huge emphasis on just, I need to send the link to y'all because it was exactly what you all were talking about in the podcast about taking a stand, not being afraid to. It was fantastic. And the worship leader at the end basically called the men out and said, hey, I need you men to come here and get on your knees and pray and ask God to turn you into someone who's going to come out and actually be a man living for Christ. And the response was incredible. That's absolutely awesome. Incredible. So, yeah, I've failed in so many ways in this and teaching my son, embarrassingly so. So it's kind of now coming back to haunt me a little bit.
Wow. Well, I have all daughters, so, you know, I'm free in that one.
Well, bless you, my son. Oh, man, I'd rather have boys because you can wrestle them to the ground until they get too big to wrestle.
That's but true.
Girls, woo.
Yeah, there's other challenges, but they're all beautiful, beautiful young women doing great things. So, examples of men in Christ. I saw some things in the past. When I was in Faith World, going to Faith World, Pastor Clint Brown's church, and we had a pretty strong men's ministry. The shame of it was that, you know, we would have had about 5,000 members, but men's meetings, seven guys consistently showed up, and we managed to grow that. And that seems to be because I went over to New Destiny to check out their men's ministry. New Destiny, where Paula White is, before she was there, same thing. Thousands of members, eight men showed up for the men's meeting. What do you think is the cause of that? Before we really get into the masculinity part,
I think it's fear. I really do think it's fear of telling people who you are, acknowledging that whether it's spiritual or mentally, I'm an adulterer if I have put anything in front of Christ. That means I'm either committing spiritual or physical or mental adultery. I'm not taking a stand. I mean, you guys sat here in the podcast and basically proclaimed the gospel. We're afraid to do that. Well, I got to give one of the things the pastor was talking about was keeping one foot in Egypt and then the other foot in the promised land.
Mm-hmm.
And he related it to, you know, the Hebrews leaving Israel or leaving Egypt, but oh gosh, we had food there and we had shelter, but you were slaves and you were beaten. And I want to keep one foot in the world in my music, unfortunately. And in some of the shows I watch and some of the stuff I do, I'm keeping one foot in Egypt and I'm not allowing God to run with me. And it's just, this message hit me pretty, I mean, I've been going to church my whole life, so I've heard a ton of messages, but this one was basically calling us on the carpet as men, saying, put up or shut up. Stop playing with this anymore.
Right. That's true. And back at, this was pretty wild. Back at Faith World, Father's Day comes. You know, Mother's Day, they put on the whole spread. Everybody gets roses and yep. all these beautiful things. Came time for Father's Day at the church at Faith World. Pastor Brown preached, Adam, where art thou? Where are the men of Christ? What are you doing? You are failing us. You're not exactly what you're talking about. You're not. We were just like sitting back, like, whoa, what? Where's the roses and the, you know, can we get some fried chicken or something?
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
He laid us all out. He's like, you guys are failing. You're not doing what you're supposed to do. Part of that is the vulnerability that you're talking about. That's a big issue that men deal with, wanting to be vulnerable because we have to be strong. It's a catch 22. We're expected to be the leaders. We're expected to be the strength. We're expected to hold up the family and be really, really strong. But we think in our mind, instead of leaning on God, that we can't show our softer side or the things that we go through or the things that hurt us or our difficulties, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think if you look back, Adam failed. His job, if reading scripture, if I read it correctly, God told Adam what to do, not to do.
Right.
You don't see anywhere where God told Eve what to do. So I would have to assume Adam told Eve, this is what we do, we don't do. Mm-hmm. But he didn't stand in the gap in the very first opportunity when Satan presented the bait and she took it. So he had to be close by, so he didn't stand there. He should have known. He should have protected when God said, you don't do this.
Mm-hmm.
Immediately, he should have stepped in and protected his wife and said, no, we don't do this. So he first man failed to do it.
Right. So he didn't say, not today, Satan, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, and then ever since then, we've failed to do our job as men consistently. Mm-hmm. Women have resented that, and now when it talks about women having a desire for her husband, might not be a sexual desire, it's a desire to take position of the husband. And so many men are absent in homes today. Mm-hmm. I don't know where to start with that. So many, even those that are there, your work, your football team. I mean, how many men are more passionate about their football team? And I love sports.
Me too.
But you're more passionate. Well, if you're a Bills fan, you're not real passionate today.
Or a Cowboys fan.
Yeah. Spend. I'm okay with the Cowboys losing. But again, imagine if you were that passionate about eternity in Jesus Christ. And I'm not. And I'm pointing the finger at myself with all of this stuff, how I'm failing to honor the man or the God that created me.
Right. Amen. Amen. And then let's talk about society. The rise of the LGBTQ, how that strength and different forms or, you know, changes or manipulations of gender have come to the forefront. And then we actually talked about the feminization of Jesus, which I mentioned before we came on, where Jesus is seen as a kind and gentle peaceful Lord who walked around and blessed people and was gentle and took care of everybody. Yet, I mean, even when he was tempted, he stood boldly against the devil. stood boldly against many, many things. He was a very strong, strong in character, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He didn't stand in his own strength. He always quoted scripture. When he was tempted by Satan, he referred back to the word. Mm-hmm. But you're right. I love music. I love music to death. But so much of the worship, to me, worship songs are Jesus is my boyfriend. It's all about love. It's mm-hmm. all about, and that's great. Again, the greatest of these is love. I get that. But I think we swung the pendulum so far one way. He's also going to come back as a conquering king. Mm-hmm. When he returns, blood's going to run to the horse's bridle. So, you know, you always see a picture of him holding the lamb, and it's all so cute. Where's the pictures of him with the whips turning over the tables? And just, right. Yeah, we are supposed to love.
Yes.
Because he has loved us.
Yes.
We are to forgive because he has forgiven us. If I don't forgive, I cannot be forgiven. I get that. And I think it's almost like we've lost the ability to agree that we disagree. And I think we talked about this. Mm-hmm. I can love somebody and not agree with their lifestyle.
Right.
With what they do, what they say, I can still love them. Mm-hmm. But I'm also then not going to, I don't want to say the wrong thing here, but maybe that's right. The problem. We've gotten so, I want to be politically correct and not offending
right,
you.
Right.
You know what? Maybe some of us need to be offended. Mm-hmm. If you are living a lifestyle, I don't care what it is, myself included, if I am putting anything before God, I am living in sin, period, end of story. Mm-hmm. And we have so many people. Well, what I feel like today is this. I feel like a woman today. Well, mm-hmm. I feel like a donkey today. Does that make me a jackass? Or, you know, don't answer that. You could probably say so. But I'm pretty simple. I'm old, so I get to be a curmudgeon.
Sure.
We got a hose or a drain. Pick one. You know, I know. I'm sorry to be kind of graphic, but seriously, you know,
yeah.
I identify as this. You can't. I need to worry about those things that I can change. I can change how I respond. I can change how I react to you. I can change how I respond to other groups and other ethnic individuals. I can't change my skin color, so I can't change anything about that. I can't change anything about where I was born, who I was born to, when I was born.
Right.
But I can change how I am interacting with everybody. Mm-hmm. And you guys have both taught me a lot about how I need to see you as just God's children, period, mm-hmm. end of story. Mm-hmm. And again, I'm not a black man in America, so I don't know what that's like.
Right.
But I'm a white man in America who, because I'm a white man in America, I'm a racist, period. And I'm like, how can that happen? So I don't know. It's just, there's so much going on. We've lost so much of the love of Christ. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I'm confused. Well, I'm not confused. This is the enemy, and the enemy is having a field day right now. Absolutely. With all this stuff, because he's Absolutely. Distracting us. You know, yeah, yep. Go ahead, go to church, do your church thing, but you don't want to be real about this.
Right.
Just do your church thing.
Yeah. Distraction and confusion. That's his playing field. That's his playing field. And definitely, even Tony Dungy recently got into something where they were talking about bathrooms and putting something in the bathroom for women's, you know, women's hygienic items. And he said, and we're going to, you know, are we going to turn into cats or something like that? And he got a whole lot of heat.
Yeah.
Whole lot of heat for that. But what he said was, and what you began with, is that he apologized, of course. And then he did say that as Christians, you know, we love everyone, no matter what their walk or their choices and what they do. Our aim is to love everyone, and he apologized for that. So it's tough, man. There's so much going on. So many things going on, man, but we really have to lean on God. God is our guidance. The Bible is our map, and we just have to be mindful of that and cling to that. Also, fellowship, wasn't that great when we met and did that podcast, man? Just being together strengthened me. I felt just so positive. Just to get together
and laugh at ourselves.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Laugh at ourselves, laugh, enjoy the company of one another. And I don't care. I almost don't care what people are politically, what denomination you are. I don't care. Do you love Jesus? Mm-hmm. And where do we go from there?
Right.
And it's just, but it's hard, man. You know what it's like. I don't know how to get around it, mm-hmm. other than, you know, like Paul, dust off the sandals and move on to somebody else or someone else if it's not going to work.
Absolutely.
Tony took a lot of heat from that. I remember that. He took a lot of heat for that.
Yes, he did.
And he did apologize, and I get that, and I understand. Mm-hmm. But he also didn't veer from the truth. You know, if you look at Christ, as people say, well, Christ loved everybody. He did. Mm-hmm. But what did he tell the woman at the well? Go and do no more.
Right.
You know, correct. The rich young ruler. Mm-hmm. If you're going, yes, I'm not going to condemn you. Go. And the same thing with the woman they brought, which I always thought the story was ironic, if I can take a minute. They bring this woman that is caught in adultery. Mm-hmm. And they put her before Jesus and say, what are you supposed to do? A, you know, the law says you have to have two witnesses. There weren't two witnesses. And there's a whole bunch of things around. My question was, how did you know she was caught in adultery? What were you doing in the room anyways? But that's a whole other side point. Mm-hmm. But he stands up and says, odor without sin, cast the first stone. But then he tells her, go and do no more. And I think we've kind of forgotten that. Yes, I'm supposed to love. But if somebody sees me doing something that they know is wrong, and they come to me and they tell me, Tim, hey, dude, what are you doing with that? What are you doing flirting? What are you doing? Why are you drinking like you're drinking? And I blow up. That's a me problem. Mm-hmm. I would hope someone would come to see and say, dude, let's sit down and talk, brother, because I'm concerned. I'm concerned for you. I want to know where's your head at? Where's your head at right now? Where's your walk? That's hard to do because, well, you shouldn't judge me. Judge not, lest you be judged. I love it when people take scripture out of context and then apply it to that.
Yes, absolutely.
If I am being wrong, somebody needs to tell me. And I think we've lost the courage to do that, to pull somebody aside and say, hey, brother, come on, man. What are you doing here? We've lost the ability to do that.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? You got to have a brother that loves you enough to come in and help you and help correct you and bring that to your attention. That's one thing. You know, and that's something I've seen with brothers around me. Like, hey, you know, let's talk about this, man. What's going on? Why are you acting like this? This is stuff that happens in fellowship and in close communication. It's the whole iron sharpens iron. If your iron is dull, let me talk to you and make you stronger and sharpen you up so you get on point, you know, instead of where you're at, because you're definitely wandering and something is wrong. Now we said we were going to talk about you know, masculinity. And I found some notes online. I was looking around on that. One here is from actually the Liberty University website. It was an opinion. It said, according to the Bible, by example of Christ, masculinity is humble leadership. It's sacrificial love and incredible meekness. Our society needs revitalized masculinity. We need masculinity that will treat women with honor, prize honesty, and fight for the sake of the vulnerable. Fight for the sake of the vulnerable. What do you think about that statement? That's pretty.
I think it's absolutely true.
Yeah.
You know, we're told to love our wives because Adam didn't love his wife and love his wife enough to step in and stop the attack to begin with. And women are told to honor their husbands because the problem they have is honoring us in the position that God has given us. Mm-hmm. If I am doing what I am supposed to do as a man of God, honor will come. I shouldn't have to ask for it. If I am loving my wife, everybody says, oh, I'd die for my wife. Yeah, but Would you take out the trash? You know, would you do the laundry?
Right.
Would you give her a kind word when, you know, being how wives are sometimes? I think that's great. Servant leadership. I know Tony Dungy actually has taught, speaking to Tony, he's talked about servant leadership and what it means.
Mm-hmm.
Christ washed the disciples' feet. Mm-hmm. So do we sometimes have a hard time really defining that? So I'm going to be humble.
Well, right.
Can you say, you know, how do you say, oh, I'm going to be humble today? How do you do that? How do you show true servant leadership?
Mm-hmm.
And that's tough. And I think that's one of the hardest things to do, because everybody wants to be, you know, Superman or Chuck Norris or something. They're going to go and, you know, I'm going to be Dwayne Johnson. I'm going to go take on everybody.
That's right. That's right. For sure. That's, and then when you think about it, I mean, it takes a strength to humble yourself. Honestly, it really does. It's not easy. Because you're battling ego pretty much. And, you know, we're supposed to be the strong person, but you're actually stronger being humble. And it takes really a mature aspect to recognize that, instead of seeing, oh, you're weak. Look at you. You're washing feet. What are you doing down there? You know, he's the most powerful man in the world at that time. And he's washing people's feet. You think about it that way. It's pretty amazing. Absolutely. Here's another one. This is from a piece called The Masculinity of Christ in the Face of Effeminate Christianity from relearn.org. This statement says, my hypothesis is, due to the feminization of Jesus, the cultural hatred of masculinity, and the lack of faithful exposition in the pulpit, we have been conditioned to not recognize the potent manliness of and courageousness of Christ. So this is saying society and the pulpit are not recognizing the manliness of Christ.
Yeah, I'd probably have to agree with that. Although, sitting through the message that we sat through the last couple of weeks, it really has been impassioned about taking that stand.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's easier for us as men to identify with going forward, conquering hero, blasting through the enemy lines, mm-hmm. you know, taking on all comers. I get that. That's how we're wired, I suppose, mm-hmm. to do that. But to stand back and let God work through me, that means I'm denying myself. What does he tell us today? What's the first thing he tells us? He doesn't tell us to pick up your cross and deny yourself. It's deny right. yourself and pick up your cross and follow me.
Right.
There's a reason why he says things like he does.
Mm-hmm.
Denying self, man. Well, you know.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I don't do well at denying self.
Yeah. Yeah. It's tough. It's not easy. It's not easy for sure. For sure, man. So
well, what do you think about, and it's probably kind of a somewhat sensitive topic, but I see more men wanting to be women, and I look at what they're teaching kids in the educational system mm-hmm. for puberty blockers. I know this could go down a rabbit hole really quickly, but
mm-hmm.
if young boys aren't told and shown an example through their father about what it means to be a man, then all of a sudden, well, maybe I should be a girl. Maybe I should be this. Maybe I need to do this. But I see more men. I don't see a whole lot of women jumping in to a tennis match against Nadal or Djokovic. Or Djokovic. My wife hates it when I call him Djokovic.
Djokovic.
You know, I don't see a whole lot of, you know, Katie Ledecky, one of the best women swimmers in the world, would still, if you look at the times, would have been smoked by Michael Phelps. It's mm-hmm. just a natural thing.
Mm-hmm.
So what really is weird to me is I don't see a whole lot of women jumping into the men's sports
right.
and dominating like that idiot swimmer did.
Right.
That male swimmer who all of a sudden identifies as a woman and then he wins.
Yeah.
And my question is, where are the fathers of those girls to come down and get in front of this guy and say, no, you ain't doing this today. You're not going through, you got to go through me if you want to get in the pool. You know, and I know that, well, we just need to love and we need to understand. This is just blatant, outright sin. Mm-hmm. No two ways about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the flip side, if I was a woman, I think I would be irritated as snot that I have trained my entire life. And now I'm in the collegiate finals and some guy comes and decides he wants to be a girl today and takes away everything that I potentially could have.
Right.
I don't see why there just isn't a screaming outrage from women about this. I don't get it.
There was a lot of noise about it. And I know I didn't think that was fair either. I mean, say, KD says he wants to identify as a woman and goes to the WNBA. I mean, he would dominate. We are not equal.
Could you imagine that? Could you imagine? He would be like Wilt Chamberlain scoring 100 points a game.
100 points a game. Yeah, absolutely. Just come down and just shoot it. Walk in and dunk, you know. It's not equal.
It's not.
We are not built equal. I thought that was totally unfair to the other attendants, other athletes. But that means that these parameters have to be defined. You know, we're allowing you some sense of equality, but if you are born a man and built as a man, there's got to be limits to what you can do. I mean, I didn't think that was fair at all, man. I had a big problem with that for sure.
We're different. And thank God, literally, that men and women are different.
Yeah.
We're not the same.
No, they're not.
And I'm tremendously joyous that mm-hmm. we are different.
Yeah.
And we both have strengths and weaknesses that we need to exploit. So.
Right, right. They have a lot of strengths that we don't, let me tell you, for sure. You know that.
They've been carrying the church here in America for quite a while. So who are the women? The women are praying. The women prayer groups, the women's groups are always, as you said, they're mm-hmm. always bigger.
Yes.
Have a men's group and a dozen guys show up.
Yeah. 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 You bring breakfast, 30 might show up.
You know, I think we said that, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. Gotta have food.
Your stomach. You're right. You offer food. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's something, I don't know. Maybe we need to look for a catalyst. How do you get more men involved? Well, food or sports, I guess. I don't know.
Yep.
You know, I don't know.
Our church.
I remember y'all doing something
mm-hmm.
about having that kind of show. We started to kind of do it and got subjected to getting beat the somebody kid 15 years old or 12 years old.
Yeah, I was thinking about that the other day. Boxing. Yeah. That was crazy.
But it was just doing stuff that you typically don't see in a church setting.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. how can we, if men aren't comfortable coming in, sitting around a living room and talking about their feelings, mm-hmm. okay, so where can we get them? I can tell more about a guy in about 15 minutes on a basketball court than I can 2 years sitting next to him in a church.
That's so true. So true.
And I'm sure you've seen it.
Mm-hmm.
You go to a lot of sporting events and you cover a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen just as many arguments at church basketball and church volleyball leagues mm-hmm. as I have in the real world. So what does that tell me?
One thing that I really love when we cover the Orlando Magic and we go into the locker room, there's a few players there, especially Jonathan Isaac, who is, he wears Jesus on his sleeve, and Markelle Fultz. They are both devout followers of the Lord. They will speak it. You ask them any question, they will expound on it. And it's really encouraging. What's encouraging to me is, okay, and I ask these questions. I always try to ask them some kind of question about God or their faith so that if some kid is out there and having a hard time and he sees that Markel Fultz follows Jesus. He's, oh, wait a minute. That changed my thinking, you know, because you have all this other stuff saying there's problems with the church. But this guy's got the dreads and the tats and all this stuff. And he's like, I praise God. God brought me through everything. I wouldn't have made anything. I wouldn't have gotten through what I've been through without God, you know. So that's why I do that. And it's really encouraging to see that. It's quite a few players in the Magic that are followers of Jesus for sure. So it's really encouraging to see.
Yeah, I was going to make a pun about the Magic still have a professional basketball team, but I didn't go there. That's fine. I haven't been to a Magic game in
Watch out. Years. Watch out.
I know.
People talk. Hey, you're a Lions fan, so you know. You guys had a great season this year. People talking trash about the Jacksonville Jaguars this year. They made it to the playoffs, man.
They did. Yeah, I I do love sports, and I'm trying not to spend as much time watching it, but the Lions have been incredibly average for a very, very long time. Yes. They're exceptionally average, or maybe I should say it that way.
And very good at being average or below.
You guys are just, it's 1954, I think, was the last championship in the Super Bowl. So, yeah, so you're talking about when Dallas hadn't been since, what was it, 92 or 92. Whatever it was, whatever. 20 years? Come on, let's talk 50 years, 60 years.
Oh, my gosh. Absolutely, man. So we really got to get ourselves together, man. Let me see if there's anything else in this. There's a lot of stuff.
It's almost like the topic is so large.
Yeah.
Where do you start? And, you know, that old saying, how do you eat an elephant one bite at a time? So how do we change this? How can I change this?
Right.
How can I now go back and rebuild the years that the locusts have eaten and the son and the life of my son that I can do? And I can't. I know I can't do that. The only thing I continue to do is pray that the Lord will find a way to get to him. And I know I need to go and I need to sit down with him. And this has been on my mind for a long time. Mm-hmm. I need to go and sit down with him and first apologize and ask for his forgiveness for all the things that I have not done. I didn't teach him to love Jesus. I didn't teach him to love the Lord. Mm-hmm. And so that's something I need to do. We're going to be grandparents in July of this year. Mm-hmm. So I need him to know my failures. And that's one thing that I think is the biggest thing, I think. But to me, my biggest failure is not being willing to recognize that.
Wow.
And saying, okay, I really messed up here. I can't. Lord knows it. You know, the Lord already knows what I've done, haven't done, and what I've asked for.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to wallow in it. I don't care. Say I messed up. I can't ever fix it.
Right.
Because today is a new day. Tomorrow is a new day. I can start again and try to repair that and help him to see and understand. Now, he was in a really bad accident.
Mm.
I think he's kind of discovered a couple of things. He was in a really bad accident about three weeks ago. He got T-boned on the front end.
Oh.
You know, his wife's pregnant. Mm. And I think it might have kind of brought some things home. Because I told him, dude, your life can change in a second. Mm-hmm. In a second, your life can change. You're sitting at the stop sign, doing your own thing, and somebody slams you from the side.
Mm-hmm.
It could have been so much worse.
Yeah.
You could have been hit truly broadside. You could have broken your neck. You could be in a wheelchair. You could be sipping food through a straw. It can change in a second. Are you ready? Are you prepared?
Right. What's your foundation? What are you going to hold on to when something hard comes through?
I saw how he reacted, that's kind of when it hit me.
Mm-hmm.
I have not prepared my son for life in that manner. When I saw how he reacted, because of how I would have reacted when he was growing up. And it then listening to the sermons here the past couple of weeks, like, dude, okay, I get it. I'm a thick-headed guy. I'm an old curmudgeon. I get it. But wow. And the only thing I can think of, and I mean, you guys in the studio, so much stuff has just happened in the past month. That makes me realize your time is short.
Yes.
And it's not, you're not being fatalistic. I could walk out the door and I could be dead. And I know, you don't walk around with your head in the sand, but that means I need to change every single day what I'm doing. And that's the hardest thing for me to do. Recognizing that I really screwed up and then making that change every single day.
Right, right. And actually you going to your son and showing that vulnerability makes you actually stronger and appear stronger, that you would open up that instead of hiding it, but to open that up and sharing with him how you're feeling, your remorse, and you know, it's like, wow, he's apologizing to me. I'm hoping so. You know.
But it's a fear. It's a fear of, well, what's he gonna think? Well, he already knows that you're a knucklehead, so let's just let's just go from there. And my goal needs to be for him to see Christ in me. That's got to be my goal. You guys talked about it all during the podcast. The most important thing is Christ.
Yeah.
So that's tough, though.
It's not easy walk, man. It is. When I told my father that I was saved years ago, he started crying because he knew how hard my walk would be. And that's what he told me. I was like, wow.
That wasn't in the brochure about being a Christian.
No, you know, you're supposed to, you know, and it was, there were things, you know, we were prepared. We were told things because I was in the choir, and the choir sets the atmosphere in church. And you're the first ones everyone sees when everything starts. And I found out is that in a church, the choir is the outside of the pastor. Choir is next in line for the attacks. And
yeah.
So someone that's been in the choir for years told me that. They said, get ready, attacks are coming. And they sure did. They sure did, man. But thank God, you know, we made it through. God pulled us through. So,
you know, they don't tell you, well, we're told. And I think one of the problems I know with the church is we've been told, come down, say a prayer, you're good to go, you're in.
Right.
Without understanding, you know, scripture tells us, know the cost. The builder knows the cost before he builds a house or whatever he's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Really, I think if more people were told, this is the cost, it could cost you this. It could cost you relationships.
Right.
It could cost you your job. It could cost you a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
If people would maybe be a little bit more serious and, again, if you're feeling led by the Spirit and you need to do this, then go.
Right.
But then start. Don't just think, okay, I'm good. I'm going to go home. I'm going to join the church and things are going to be solid. Because, man, it can get ugly.
Surely
can. And I don't think we've been told, just be ready. Just be prepared. You're not the only one. Not the only one going through it.
Right.
Be ready. You're ready.
You learn these things. Like, sometimes, you know, we call it devil attacks. It might not be devil attacks, but these attacks come and we're so emotionally like, oh my God, what's happening? And it's nothing.
Yeah.
My friend used to say it's like a mosquito bite. Like it just irritates you and gets on you. And you, if you think about the mosquito, like, oh man, he's going to bite me. But it's a mosquito, you know?
Yes. Yeah.
Smack it. It's not going to kill you.
It might
bite you. It's not going to kill you, you know?
Yeah.
And that's why I found a lot of these attacks are, you know, it's going to hurt, but it's not going to kill you. It's not going to take
you. Well, how much do you worry? I do. I think I probably majored in worry. I was a professional worrier, but how much do we worry?
Yeah.
About stuff that most of the time doesn't actually happen.
Yes. True. True. Absolutely. So
I appreciate you. I appreciate you asking me to do this. This is, I think we need more of this.
Yes.
Men being willing to say, okay, I don't have all the answers.
Right.
But I might have an answer that somebody else needs. Somebody else has gone through this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I wish my dad would have told me when I got married. Okay. Everybody told me that. Expect these things. Expect that some now, but I do need to sit down with my son because I need to let him know.
Sure.
You need to expect some things once your wife has the baby. and just be realistic with them. And things like sex may be optional in a lot of times, and she may not want you anywhere near her, and she's going to probably go through postpartum, so her emotions are going to be even worse than they were before. I had no clue. Oh, you're going to have a baby. This is great.
Great. Yeah. Sleep.
Yeah. So I want the doctor to tell me the truth. Whatever it is, if you've got this and it may take your life, you may just tell me. Just tell me what it is. Let me sort it out. Let me go to the Lord in prayer. And then instead of doing a big shotgun prayer, Lord, heal me.
Right.
Lord, give me the wisdom that I need today to get through it, and then help me to walk the way you want me to walk. So
let me tell you a quick story about healing, because I don't want to take up too much of your time. 2008, I was working at Disney, and I was tired all the time. I would go out in the parking lot and sleep at lunchtime because I was just no energy at all. And it turns out I had this persistent cough that I couldn't get rid of. So I went to the doctor. He said, hey, let's run a lab. And he came back and said, you need to go right to the hospital. I'm like, what? He said, yeah, your kidneys are working at about 10% of capacity.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. So, well, he said the lab said, like, my level of Coumadin was it's usually 12, 13, 15. Mine was at, like, 5 or 6. So he said, there's something wrong with your kidneys. So I went to the hospital, and by the end of the weekend, I found out that my kidneys were working about 10% of that capacity. This is out of nowhere, you know, because there's very little symptoms of that, of kidney disease. So I had to, you know, I had to there, and then I kept hearing, oh, you're going to have to do dialysis, kidney dialysis, where they hook you up to a machine and it cleans your blood. And I kept hearing nightmare stories. Oh, my dad was terrible after dialysis. He was useful. He's always tired, blah, 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 blah. And during that time, they tried drugs for about a year to raise my levels, get my kidney functioning. And then after a year, you know, I had to do dialysis. But during that year, I was deep into the church, deep into faith, where I was in the choir. And the choir, like, kept praying for healing. He's got to be healed. Lord, heal him, you got to be healed. They brought me up on stage in church, you know, healing, the whole church prayed for me, healing. And then a little voice said, what if you're not supposed to be healed? You know, and it turns out I had to do dialysis anyway. And I did that for almost 5 years. And then I got a kidney transplant, which is like new life. So I've had kidney transplant for about 10 years. And it turns out I went through all of that because I went through the process. I knew what you had to do, how to deal with things. And then I've had people come to me. Oh, my aunt, you know, has to go to dialysis. You know, they told me to come and talk to you. And I said, it's okay. Don't panic. Blah, 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 blah. So I have the experience of going through that process because I went through, to be able to tell other people and even minister some other people that, you know, so that was the purpose of everything that I went through. And it was like such an education to me, like, you're not always going to be healed when you ask for that, you know?
Thank you. I remember you going through some issues at My Christian Films and like, dude, what's going on now? Yeah. Things I got to do. And, but you muscled through it and you worked through it. And it's great. And I'm glad to hear you say that little voice says, but what if I don't want you healed? I don't think you really think, I mean, most people don't want to hear that. Oh, he's going to heal me, right? I'm going to be healed. I'm going to be fine. What if he doesn't want you to be healed and you need to talk to others?
It was planted. It was just planted there. What if you're not supposed to be healed? You know? So.
It's a hard. My mom lived for us the last 6 years of her life, and one day she asked me, she said, why are you guys praying for me to get better? She had some kind of lung issue or fluid that built up her lung, myocarditis or something. And she said, why are you doing this? Well, because we want you to be around. She said, what if I want to go home? Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. no, why? You're selfish. We want you to be here. We would, you know, love for you to spend more time with Austin, and right. but it didn't happen. And I'm just glad we had the last 6 months that she was around. But it's mm-hmm. well, when you pray for healing, what if they're not supposed to? I've watched people go, young men, you know, a little bit younger than me, so they're young men, back with cancer, aggressive mm-hmm. cancer, leaving three daughters and a wife, and now she's going through the same thing. And
wow, so
why did Galen have to? Why Galen? Why not me? I'm mm-hmm. I'm the guy that should be gone. Why Galen, whose ministry mm-hmm. working for Crew? But it's like, no, I need you to be here maybe to show what mercy is.
Yeah.
What mercy and grace are. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's what my life is showing what mercy and grace means. Because if you can do it for me, you can do it for anybody.
Amen. Let me ask you this. We'll get ready to wrap it up. If anyone wants to get in contact with you or GRP, I know you guys offer a great bunch of things that you guys do in media and different things. How can people get in contact? You talk about GRP a little bit and what you guys do.
They can get a hold of me at chris@24flix.com. I'm sorry, Marty did that to you in the podcast.
all the time.
Leave me alone. Yeah, sorry, I couldn't afford it. Yeah, okay. You can get a hold of us at, you know, you can get a hold of me by email at tim@grpstudios.com. And we do a lot of stuff. We do video work. We do teleprompter work. We've worked with another young man, Justin Lero, with ABL Essentials. And now we've done, like, you put an army ball, you want to put on a production of some sort over a couple of days. We've done that. But kind of our wheelhouse is really B2B. We can do commercial work for you. We can do training film stuff for you. So do it in studio, do it on location.
Okay.
Do you have a podcast space and you can come in and do a podcast, talk about whatever you want to talk about.
Great podcast
space. It doesn't cost you anything.
Right now, right?
Yeah. So, but yeah. And it's been a pleasure realizing it's been more than a decade now, probably 2010, 2011, we all first met.
Yes, sir. As
you were going in, you had responded to the ad for My Christian Films to do some editing. Mm-hmm. And we met about the same time. So sure. It's been a long journey. I haven't been around as much as I was early, but it's been missed. It's been greatly missed with you guys.
Well, I'm glad we could reconnect for some time. We got some big works coming up with the International Christian Film and Music.
Yes. Tell me about the 11th annual International Christian Film and Music Festival.
Yes, lots of stuff coming. Great guests. It's our 11th year, so we're going to be doing some fantastic things. Judges are going through films. We are still booking speaking guests. Awesome red carpet, possible concert coming. We're still talking. But it's going to be a great place for people that are passionate about media and passionate about Jesus to come together in one place. One thing that's great about the festival, as you walk around, you see people praying for each other. Yep. Prayer room is the most popular room in the place. It is May 3rd through the 6th at the Wyndham Resort at International Drive. Submit your films. You still have films and music. We need music tracks.
Until like March, right? Or until February. Yeah.
February 5th is the cutoff. Submit your stuff to internationalcff.com and get involved. That's where tickets are available as well. Internationalcff.com. Thanks, Tim.
Yep, and go and volunteer.
Yes, we need
volunteers. My wife and Laura Lee are working through this whole thing.
You guys have been working together since July on this, so.
Yeah, although it gives me, you know, it gives me like 3 hours a break on a Tuesday. So you can watch some hockey.
There you go. Cool, man. Well, thanks so much for joining me, man. This is fantastic. I'd like to have you on again. Maybe something else we can chop it up on, man. But, you know, your words and your advice are really helpful in your opinions for sure, man. This is really great conversation with you, Tim.
Well, I'm honored to call both of you guys brothers in Christ. It really, I don't say it enough how much I love what both of you are and who you are and what you do. I don't say it enough that, you know, you just kind of take things for granted. I need to stop taking things for granted and say, hey, we love you guys. And I want nothing but great success through the Lord for both of you.
Thank you. Thank you. So appreciate that. Back at you. Love you very much, Tim, and very thankful to have you involved in my life. And I know Marty feels the same. But thanks, guys. This is the end of our interview. Thank you for watching the Real Man Talk Show. We'll see you guys next time.
See ya.